Blog Talk Radio.
Miami gets game two, 100-96. They hold on for dear life as Miami gets the wire-to-wire victory, a game in which the Heat outplayed Oklahoma City. They kept them out of transition. They, for the most part, kept them off the foul line until late in the game. And again, another phenomenal performance out of LeBron James, 32 points, 8 rebounds, hit the big free throws, also hit the shot to put him up by 5 at 94-91 to make it 96-91. If you're the Heat, you take the split, you're happy about that, but there's still, to me, you know, I walked away from this game, the Heat outplayed Oklahoma City, clearly outplayed them, but had to hold on for dear life. And that would bother me if I were a Miami Heat fan. Now, again, you want to say, you did everything right just about. You know, I mean, think about all the things that occurred over the course of this game that went in the Heat favor. The Heat jump out, have as big as an 18-point lead in the first quarter, 16-2 start, 17-point lead in the first quarter, you know, controlling this game throughout. Durant's in foul trouble. Westbrook picks up a couple of quick fouls in the beginning of the half, first half. You get nothing out of the role players from Oklahoma City. Big three, Harden, Westbrook, and Durant come off with 80 points, 80 of the 96 points. You have everything going your way. He did everything right. Went to the day, attacked the basket, only shot 14 threes. But you had to hold on, again, for dear life to win this basketball game. And when essentially, to me, it was a must-win win for the Heat. I mean, you could talk all you want about, well, the series doesn't start until the home team loses. Listen, the Heat go down 2-0, the series is over. And not beating Oklahoma City 4-5, especially with the format being 2-3-2. Again, Heat, much better as far as keeping Oklahoma City out of transition. That Oklahoma City has 10 points in transition. Last game, Oklahoma City had 24. I thought they made Oklahoma City execute and play half-court basketball. Oklahoma City, you know, it took Oklahoma City about basically three quarters to get into this game, or 2.5 quarters to get into this game. I would say midway through the third quarter, they really started finding some type of rhythm. Had an excellent fourth quarter with 29 points. But again, the Heat defense was, for the most part, was very good. They held Oklahoma City under 100 points. You hold Oklahoma City to 43% shooting. They get, you know, obviously Shane Battier had a huge game. And the Heat's big three finally in this series played like a big three. LeBron has been doing his thing, 32 points, 8 rebounds. Dwayne Wade had a big game with 24 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Chris Bosh had a great, and I mean great, 16 rebounds. He had some key offensive rebounds, in that fourth quarter. Kept some balls alive, controlled, you know, did an excellent job on the defensive board. Bosh, I thought Bosh played a great game, really not known for being a banger and not known for being a great rebounder. But again, 16 rebounds, you can't, to go along with 15 points. They, you know, you need Miami's big three had to be a big three, and they basically matched Oklahoma City's big three, and, you know, different with Shane Battier being the difference. Nobody on Oklahoma City played nowhere near as well as Shane Battier as far as production-wise. I know Ibaka had a couple blocks. Steph Alosha, Derek Fisher, Collison, those guys were basically non-factors in this particular game. Chalmers, I thought, despite, you know, not putting up big stats, had an excellent game defensively. And that was basically it as far as the Heat. The Heat are going to only go and go. And now they went a little deeper this game. They put, you know, you saw Norris Cole, James Jones. But for the most part, the Heat are not going to go no more than, you know, seven to eight at the most. So, that's all there is to it. James and Wade are going to have to play big minutes in this particular series. Oklahoma City, from their standpoint, you've got to address this via Scott Brooks, these slow starts. Van Gundy was all over it during the course of the game. Three straight games now, going back to San Antonio, game six, where Oklahoma City's gotten off to a slow start and then down by double digits in the first quarter. They've got to get it. They cannot afford to fall behind by 14, 15 points on the road in Miami. I mean, they've got to get off to a much better start. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they just, you know, think they can turn on and off anytime in terms of coming back. They are a tremendous comeback team, and they do finish, again, they do outplay you in the fourth quarter. I wrote that on my blog in game one, how tremendous this team has been in the fourth quarters, basically outscoring their opponents and basically just about every fourth quarter of the games they've played over the course of the playoffs. But you can't fall behind a team like that. You can't spy a team 17-point first quarter lead. To me, that was a huge difference, and probably the difference in this game was the first quarter. You know, you've heard many coaches say, hey, you can't win a game in the first quarter, but you sure can lose it, and that was certainly true over the course of this game. I thought Miami did a much better job in this game in terms of sustaining a lead. You felt like they led throughout. That first game, they were up 13 points. The next thing you know, the lead was 7 at halftime. That lead never stuck, and Oklahoma City took a lead in the third quarter of that game. This game, no, that lead stuck for the better part of, you know, for the better part of three quarters. Oklahoma City came into the fourth quarter, I believe, trailing by 11 points. Didn't really make a dent into the game, into that lead, until midway through the fourth quarter when they started cutting it to 5-6. So the lead stuck for Oklahoma, for Miami, again, doing a much better job of sustaining the lead, and were able to have Oklahoma City in chase mode for the better part of the game. Again, LeBron James was phenomenal. 32 points, 8 rebounds, had a couple fourth-quarter turnovers, but again, made the big shots down the stretch with the, basically the fadeaway bank shot with the clock running down, which was a huge shot to make it 96-91, kind of stem the tide a little bit. Oklahoma City had, that was coming off the Russell Westbrook three-point play that cut it to three. And, of course, he made the clutch free throws. And, again, Miami has missed a number of big-time free throws, number of fourth-quarter free throws. LeBron has missed a number of fourth-quarter free throws over the course of these playoffs. He was 12-for-12 in this game, hit the two free throws to put Miami up by four, and that would, no, Oklahoma City would not score the game as the game ended at 100-96. So, series tied at one. Game three in Miami, Sunday night, 8 o'clock. We'll see what happens with that. We are just getting started here on this latest edition of the post-game show. We're going 45 minutes tonight. When we return, we will talk about the turning point of this game. Also have the unsung hero as well as preview game three. OKC, Miami ties the series at one with a 100-96 victory over Oklahoma City, and they will head back to South Beach with home court advantage. We'll be right back. 96. Miami ties the series up at 1, getting what I thought was a must win for them. I mean, you can't afford to fall behind 2-0. I don't care if you haven't played a home game yet. You're not going to beat a team like as good as Oklahoma City 4 out of 5 times. Thought Miami had to have this game. They hold on for the 4-point victory after basically controlling the game. They controlled the game throughout, handled Oklahoma City's first home loss of this postseason. Oklahoma City had been 9-0. And listen, you're going to lose a home game. The Lakers in 2001 were 15-1 in postseason and lost a home game. And of course, that was game one against the Sixers with Iverson going for 48 points. I don't care how dominant you are in the postseason, you're going to lose a home game. And coming into this game, Oklahoma City had been great in this postseason. They had been 13-3. Okay, so they had really been playing tremendous basketball in this postseason. You're going to lose a home game. We'll see what they're made of come game two with the scene shifting to Miami. I thought the turning point, there was not a distinct play that turned this game around like I thought game one had the Russell Westbrook technical foul. I thought Miami jumping out, you know, first quarter 27-15 was a turning point from the standpoint of they really put Oklahoma City on its heels. They came out, didn't allow, you know, Oklahoma City to, you know, made Oklahoma City play from come from behind. And again, you know, you can have comeback wins, but if you continuously fall behind, you're going to lose a share of those games. I mean, if this happens quarter after quarter, game after game, things tend to even out. And, you know, Miami coming out, again, hitting Oklahoma City right in the mouth. A lot of times you see a team survive a game one and win, and then come back in that game two and really have a great performance. Miami, you know, didn't allow Oklahoma City to get into any rhythm in the first quarter. Oklahoma City was awful in that first quarter, shot, you know, about 25%. And Miami jumped out and, again, put Oklahoma City on its heels. And again, it was not one signature moment to me that turned around this game, but it was just one, you know, just a quarter that to me was the difference in this game. That first quarter with Miami jumping out 27-15, could have had a bigger lead with Durant having 2 fouls, Westbrook having 2 fouls, but regardless of that, they came out and really established themselves. Dwayne Wade, again, to me, played much better in this game, had much more of an impact on this game than he did in game one. Game one, he had a quiet 19-8. This game, he comes out, this game again, 24-6, played good defense as well. and really, you know, complimented LeBron James, you know, to a T. It's clear, listen, Wade does not have to be the Dwayne Wade of last year in the finals or the Dwayne Wade of 2006 in the finals, because it's evident that LeBron James is not going to be, you know, he's not going to average 17 points a game in the finals this year. So, you know, if you have to LeBron James, if LeBron James is going to give you around 30, then, you know, Wade can be a nice compliment and get you 20 or 25 and, you know, kind of take some pressure off him, take some pressure off James. So, but I do think the turning point of this game was the first quarter, and where Miami took it to Oklahoma City right away, didn't hit him in the mouth, and had Oklahoma City back on its heels for the majority of the game. When we return on this today's edition of the postgame show, again, Cyril Quint hosting the postgame show, taking you to 12:45. Call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at WilliamGerald.com, or hit me up on Facebook.com/William, Facebook.com/ Cyril Quinn as well. Again, call number is 347-215-6180. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this 15th of June 2012, as we look back at game two of the NBA Finals, which is now even at one apiece. Miami getting the game two victory 100-96. Another big game out of LeBron James. This time he had a lot of help along with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and the unsung hero of the game, Shane Battier, who, again, was tremendous. 17 points made, I believe he made five three-pointers. Four or five three-pointers. I think that last one was his fifth. Battier, you know, has really shot the lights out in the last three or four games of the postseason. And, you know, first game he played great, making big three-point shots. This game was even just as good, if not better, drawing a couple charges, just doing the little things that you have to have. He's a perfect glue guy for a team like Miami with the superstars that they have with LeBron and Wade. And, you know, I mean, he's a perfect complement for them, be able to make open shots. He defends. He dives on the floor. He does all the hustle plays. And he's really played extremely well in his whole seat in this series. He is the unsung hero of the game. Again, he made some timely three-point shots. I mean, he made one he made one at 87-83 when Oklahoma City was on a run to make it 90-83. I know Westbrook would follow that up. Durant would follow up with a 3-point shot. He also made another one when it was like 67-55. He made a huge three to extend it to 15. So he made some big threes that every time Oklahoma City seemed like they had momentum, he would make a big shot, make a big three or a big play to kind of push him back and make him work that much harder to try to get back in the game. Just talking about that last play for a quick second, Kevin Durant on the as they showed Durant, who has been just phenomenal in the fourth quarter, had another big fourth quarter, 17 in the fourth quarter last game, had 16 in the fourth quarter this game, so he's been dominant in the fourth quarter of these couple of games here. But on that last play with Durant, well, not the last play, but the possession where Oklahoma City had a chance to cut it to tie the game, Durant got fouled. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Durant got fouled by LeBron James. He got fouled twice. Wasn't called, but, you know, I've seen worse non-fouls called in, you know, in my lifetime in watching NBA playoff games, NBA finals games. But that was clearly, like, you know, I mean, Durant's a star, but, I mean, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, they would get those calls. They would get that call. There's no two ways about it. Larry Bird, Durant's a star, but, you know, still, I mean, his reputation still, you know, he still has a little ways to go before, you know, he gets that automatic foul call, but he got fouled on that play. And you know, there's no two ways about it. He got fouled twice when you looked at the replay, but it was no call. Officials, you know, a lot of times, sometimes don't want, you know, want the game decided by that. But that call would have been, if that call would have been made, nobody would have been complaining. But outside of the Miami Heat Nation, all six of them, nobody would have been complaining about that foul call had been made. Nobody objectively, because it was clearly a foul. But again, I've seen worse fouls committed that were not called. And, you know, as part of the game, they're going to miss a call. He went and they showed it again. He got fouled twice. First one was, you know, LeBron had his arm, you know, had his arm under, you know, had him in lock, had his arm locked. Then he pushed him on the shot. So, miscalled it by the officials. But regardless, I mean, Miami clearly deserved to win the game. They outplayed Oklahoma City. They dominated, you know, the first quarter, controlling, were basically not on cruise control, but basically controlled the game up until the last quarter where Oklahoma City really came at them and made a great run. Miami almost choked this game away. I mean, it's 98-91. Okay, LeBron, Durant gets a quick two to make it 98-93, and then Miami, you know, turns over the ball that leads to a Durant three to cut the lead to two. I mean, 99, under a minute left, 98-91, game should have been over. I mean, they should not have to work that hard to finish this game off up by 7 points under a minute left. So they almost, you know, gave this game away in the last minute, which would have been a devastating loss for Miami. But again, they were able to hang on. Again, this series has been a tale of two halves. I mean, first half dominated for the most part by Miami. Second half, fourth quarter has been dominated by OKC. But the difference is, again, Wade and Bosch were much more impactful on this game than they were in game one. Bosch only had 10 points, a quiet 10 points in game one. And again, Dwayne Wade had 19 and 8, but they were, you know, did not impact the game whatsoever. It was a quiet, very quiet 19 and 8. And again, Shane Battier was an X factor. The X factor for Miami, something that, you know, Oklahoma City could not match with their role players. I mean, Cephalosha, Ibaka had a couple blocks, Fisher was non-existent, Collison, Those guys were absolutely non-existent for the better part of, for basically the entire game. I don't think Fisher played well at all. Over the course of this particular game, as ESPN interviewed Shane Battier right now, and he played great. I mean, Shane Battier shot the ball well, and he's going to get those open shots. I mean, with Wade, LeBron drawing double teams, they have to have somebody to make open 3 point. You know, to make open threes, and he's done that over the course of this series. Look at a couple game stats. Miami shot 47% from the field. Oklahoma City ended up shooting 43%. Oklahoma City first half shot was shooting like 30%, but that percentage went up as the game wore on. Too many three-point shots. As Battier shot 5 or 7 on 3 point from 3 point range, so he did hit 5 threes. Too many 3 point attempts by Oklahoma City. 9 for 26. That's way too many when you have guys like Durant, Westbrook, and Harden who all can get to the basket. Even Durant took too many, and Durant hit a couple of big ones. He had one, you know, hit a big one to cut the lead to 10, and hit a big one to cut the lead to 2. But he even took, you know, was 4 for 10 from 3 point range. That's too many 3 point attempts for a guy that can get to the line as frequently and shoot for a guy who shoots about 85-86% from the line. So he shot 10 3-point attempts. Thought Westbrook could took a couple of ill-advised threes. So I think Oklahoma City is going to have to, like, just be more aggressive at attacking the basket. Miami does not have a shot blocker. I mean, you think about it. Joel Anthony is not going to play in this series hardly. Miami does not. You can get, like, I mean, even LeBron after the game saying that they were beating us off the dribble when Oklahoma City decided to put their heads down and go to the rim, there was nothing. I mean, nothing that Miami could do. There was nothing Miami could do. The flip side is Miami in the first quarter, in particular the first quarter, first half, everything was in the paint. I mean, they rarely, the only jump shots were wide open three attempts by Batty or Chalmers. Other than that, everything was in the paint. I don't think Wade or LeBron attempted a three-point shot. Maybe they did. Maybe they attempted one. So, you know, Miami really, you know, everything was in the paint. A lot of things, they did a lot of stuff in the paint. While Oklahoma City, to me, set up for too many outside shots. Kind of like, you know, game one in reverse where Miami took too many shots and did not go to a hole as well, and Oklahoma City got to the paint at will. 347-215-6180, 27 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. When we return, we will have a Game 3 preview on this latest special edition of the postgame show. Miami ties the series up at 1 with a 100-96 victory. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour in this latest post-game edition NBA Finals Game 2. Miami over Oklahoma City 100-96. Again, Shane Batty was just tremendous in this game. 17 points, 5 for 7 from 3-point range. They just put up his stats a couple of minutes ago. He's averaging 17 points in this series, shooting 70% from the field and 69% from three point line. Just been great over the course of this series, and has made timely three point shots in this particular game. If you're Oklahoma City heading into game three, we're going to see what they're made of, because, you know, they've never been in this position. I mean, now, they were down 2-0 heading home, and which to me, I'd rather be tied 1-1 heading on the road than down 2-0 even headed home, to be honest with you. The fact is, you know, you're closer to elimination being down 2-0. So they were down 2-0 headed home against San Antonio. San Antonio was looking unstoppable at the particular time, and they ran off 4 straight. They go into Miami knowing fully well that they're capable of winning on the road with the series tied at 1. And, you know, to me, I still walk away from this game thinking that OKC is the better team because of everything that went wrong for them. And they still almost, you know, were within Kevin Durant shot away from tying the game. So, you know, Oklahoma City can get off to, Oklahoma City can play Miami even in the first quarter or in the first half. You know, they've clearly worn down Miami over the course of the game, especially in the fourth quarter. They've dominated the fourth quarter of these games. So if I'm Scott Brooks, you know, I'm just pounding my team, like, you know, first quarter, about the first quarter and the importance of the first quarter. I mean, you might have to put Harden in earlier, you might have to go small earlier, but you have to do something to inject your team with some energy at the beginning. Can't have these games where you're falling behind 12, 14, 15 points before you blink your eye 5-6 minutes in. Then we're going to see, you're going to see what Oklahoma City is made of. Going on the road, tied in a series, series being tied at 1-1. Game three in a series is 1-1. It's always me. Always can be the critical game. Now, last year, Miami was in a position where they split at home with Dallas, won game three, and then lost and proceeded to lose 3 straight. So game three is not always the end-all, be-all, but more times than not, the team that wins game three is going to win the series. From a Miami perspective, your big three, the bottom line is your big three has to be great. You can't have any slippage. All three of those guys have to play well. There's no way. If one of those guys doesn't play well, Miami cannot win this series. You know, LeBron's going to be LeBron. If there's any slippage with Wade or Chris Bosh, there's no. Because it's evident that Miami has no answer. And I mean, no answer for Durant and Westbrook. Durant and Westbrook are going to put up their numbers, and they're going to have, Kevin Durant was in foul trouble at 32 points. He was in foul trouble. I mean, he was looking like one of those games where he was never going to get into rhythm and that he was never going to really get into this game. He had 32 points. Again, you go on a knock Russell Westbrook, how many shots he took a lot of shots, but he also had, 8 rebounds and 7 assists. I look at these first two games, and I say the room for error is much greater for Oklahoma City than it is Miami. And we're going to see the flip side. We're going to see if Miami can handle prosperity. You know, you split at home. The Tennessee would be you split. You get the split that you wanted. Tennessee now is, hey, we got home court. We got a major advantage. You know, this Oklahoma City team, you're going to have to beat them. You're going to have to beat them. They're not going to wilt. They're going to come. I mean, they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at Miami. But to me, if I'm Scott Brooks, the number one thing I'm pounding my team is you got to get off to a better start. We have to hit them. Let's put them back on the hills and see how they respond. You know, let's jump out to an 8 to 10 point lead and see how in front of their crowd. Again, the Miami crowd, and it would be like night and day comparing these two crowds. This is the best crowd in the NBA as far as I'm concerned. This is the best crowd in the NBA. The Miami crowd is not loud by any stretch of imagination. If things begin to go south for Miami, they can get quiet. They can get quiet very quick. So Miami plays well at home, but it is not a great home court advantage as far as crowd noise and that whole deal. It's not. Thirty-six minutes after this 1 o'clock hour, when we return, we'll wrap up the program and we'll begin where we started at the top, talking about recapping Miami versus Oklahoma City. We'll be right back. Back to this post-game edition, OKC versus Miami. Miami gets a 196 victory in Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Game 3 to be on Sunday, so the teams will get 2 days off. You have an earlier start time for Game 3, 8 o'clock, 8:30 start time. Game will start, pregame, 8 o'clock, game will start at, pregame might be 7:30, game might start at 8 o'clock. All these games need to start at 8 o'clock. I mean, 9 o'clock is entirely, it's just too late. And so I don't understand why they don't start all these games at 8 o'clock, but, you know, sports, and NBA sports has always been, you know, basically at the behest of television for years, and the NBA certainly is no different as far as that comes. Again, LeBron James getting the job done. He's been tremendous in the series, 32 points, 8 rebounds, 12 for 12, for the, more importantly, 12 for 12 on the free throw line. He had missed some clutch from some fourth quarter late free throws over the course of the playoffs and over the course of this season in games, but made all 12, including the final two, to put the game out of reach at 196. But the key to this game was the big three showing up as a whole. Bosh, 16 points, 15 rebounds, and Dwayne Wade with the 24 points, 6 rebounds. Wade got off to a quick start in the first quarter, and it carried out throughout the course of this game. Miami led from wire to wire. Oklahoma City never had a lead in this game. Miami, you know, had its biggest lead at 18, had a first quarter lead at 17, at 25-8, led by 12 at halftime, 11 at the three quarters, and held on in the fourth quarter as they were outscored 29-22 in the fourth quarter. I thought Oklahoma City, again, got off to a slow start, third straight game that they've gotten off to these slow starts, something that Scott Brooks is going to have to address. going out to address during the all two off days, because you cannot afford to fall behind 10, 12, 14 points on the road and expect to come back. One thing to do it at home, we had the crowd behind you, and you know you're going to make an inevitable run. But to try to do that in Miami will be much, much tougher. I thought Spoelstra did a better job as far as you know, having Miami had a lot of movement in their offense and their half court offense. I thought they did a better job of executing the half court, attacking the rim, spacing the floor, getting some good looks for Battier, LeBron going down to the post. Wade, even though he took a few jump shots, was much more aggressive in terms of getting to the hole, had a couple of floaters. So I thought for the most part, Miami did a much better job attacking the basket. On the flip side, Oklahoma City took entirely too many jump shots. Even Durant, despite the fact he was 12 of 22, almost half of his shots were from the three-point line. He took 22 shots, 10 of them from three-point line. That's entirely too many. Even though he made 40% making 4 of 10, still entirely too many three-point shots for somebody with his kind of quickness that can get to the rim and basically, basically almost a step and a half. I thought, Oklahoma City, 26 three-point attempts, that's too many three-point shots when you have three guys that can get to the rim, as well as Harden, Durant, and Westbrook, and who all shoot close to 80-plus from the foul line. So I thought Oklahoma City, again, too many outside shots, too many three-point shots. Harden, again, their big three have played well. They scoring 80 points, but Miami's big three finally showed up. As a whole, again, this first, Bosch, 16 points, 15 rebounds. Stane Battier with a tremendous game, 17 points, 5 of 7 from three point line, hit some timely threes. And Miami just outplayed them from start to finish in this game. They absolutely deserve to win this game. Make no mistake about it. Oklahoma City never led, which is hard. I mean, you think about how good of a team Oklahoma City is to never lead on your own home floor in the NBA Finals game from start to finish. Pretty impressive performance by Miami. I'd be very interested to see how Miami comes out and handles a little bit of prosperity following this game two victory. Miami now is 3-0 when they've trailed in the series. The game following when they've trailed in the series, remember they beat Boston in game six. They beat Indiana in game four after trailing 2-1 in that series. And now they again take out Oklahoma City in game two after dropping game one. So Miami showing a little resolve, no question, no two ways about it after a poor game one performance. But again, I still walk away from this series feeling like Oklahoma City is the better team. We will certainly be looking forward to game three. This series is shaping up to be a classic. At worst, it's going to go six. It's probably going to go even seven, the way these two teams are just so evenly matched up. It'll be very interesting to see how Oklahoma City comes out, considering how much they've been struggling with their with these starts, getting off to a slow start for a third straight game. We will join you Sunday night at about, I would say, 11:30 Sunday night for the post-game show. Again, Saturday morning wake-up call tomorrow at 11:30, U.S. Open, NBA Finals. We'll talk some NFL as well, so we have a busy couple of days for you between the wake-up call and Game 3 post-game show between Oklahoma City and Miami. We'll see you then. So long. Have a great, great evening.